Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
You know what? We've got the Piazza Pets. Nick needs like a support animal in studio.
And
you
I'm
know
riding what I mean? I'm riding 20 miles today on the bike.
And name the dog like We Bang.
We Bang. That was a Ricky Martin song, wasn't it?
Yep.
Or She Bangs.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin. I mean, anyway.
Are you going to go after me for questioning if there's really...
No. I'm just saying...
If Iran's nuclear capabilities are really as bad as everybody's saying they are?
Wait. So now you buy into the fact that they might have nukes?
Wait, can we just call Iran, Iran?
Iran.
Iraq, Iran, I married, as Jefferson Darcy once said.
Oh, good.
All right.
No, I'm not buying into. I'm not buying into anything.
I don't either.
Bibi Netanyahu was on ABC yesterday trying to say, hey, look, it's America first. You want to be America dead?
Yeah.
Like what, dude?
What an interesting quote. Right?
What?
Yeah.
No,
yep.
no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Move along.
Yeah.
Move along.
There's many different layers to this. I've got all sorts of things to say on this, so we'll get into it. We'll chop it up. That'll be the theme of the big take as well, and I'm sure Dawn will have some of this with the headlines in the news. So let's get to the news, and I'll just towel off. 607, round number one.
Can you imagine how sweaty the studio is right
Palms
now?
Palms are a mess. Armpits are drenched.
607, and he already needs a nap.
Toes are moist.
I got flip-flops.
Yeah.
Can you not say moist?
Moist.
It's the worst word.
All right. I love everybody. Let's get to the news. Here's the great dog sense.
All right. Well, he bangs and unmoists. Let's get to the news. It's moist out there, by the way, as far as the rain. It's another dreary, drizzly morning. Good morning. Kale and Company News Live. We are sponsored this morning by First Bank this Tuesday morning, June the 17th. Local news, so let's get to it. There's a lot of national news, as you well know. But we have in Philadelphia, we have a home invasion. This is Philadelphia's Tacony neighborhood. This was a deadly home invasion, gunfire ringing out on Walker Street early this morning, leaving one man dead, another in the hospital after that gunfire rang out on Walker Street. Looks like 7200 block there. So police say both the victims lived at the home, which served as some kind of a rooming house. Two men knocked on the back door. They were let inside of this rooming house or rental house. So police say the men went downstairs, shot and killed a 49-year-old man multiple times. He was conscious, stable. He was taken into surgery. And as they were leaving, police say they shot that second victim who was sitting in the driver's seat of a BMW in the back alley. As far as the man, they believe to be in his mid-30s, had just returned home, and he was pronounced dead on the scene. We don't have a motive, but clearly they say this is a home invasion shooting because that first victim that I talked about, the 49-year-old man, was shot after the two guys knocked on the door, went in, went downstairs, found this guy, so he was targeted, shooting and killing him. Looks like the second guy who was shot and killed was unfortunately just sort of collateral damage because he happened to be there as the two killers exit the back of the property there. So there's some kind of a language barrier. So they're trying to talk to the one guy who survived, but he, I guess English is not his preferred language. I don't know the language, but they're saying that they're calling in an interpreter or interpreters.
Boy,
in the boarding house.
In the last couple of days, just when you thought maybe a Ring doorbell camera was your saving grace, maybe that's not enough anymore, right?
Yeah, that's true. And even a dog.
Yeah, or even a dog.
You know? We do have an update. Remember we talked about all of the so-called No Kings rallies across our region, across the nation, and the very large one, the large one in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So now there's an update to the 31-year-old man who was arrested there right on High Street on Saturday as people were strolling by either for the rally or protest or just out and about because that's, if you know that area, ton of restaurants, ton of shops. So the guy arrested, identified, 31-year-old Kevin Krebs, and now there was a search of his home in Malvern, Pennsylvania, single-family home, so they found a pipe bomb inside the home.
Oh, good.
So this guy, remember we talked about the fact that he had the handgun, I think it was a Sig Sauer handgun, And there were, in other words, there was, he had ammo on him, multiple layers of jackets with that bright colored yellow jacket as the final layer. But it did look like he had ammo that was appropriate for the handgun. But as they were, and he kind of let them, they handcuffed him and they were searching all these jackets and just pulling out all of these magazines. So some of those magazines were not for the handgun. So they probably figured that gave them probable cause that some of those magazines were for a rifle. That led them to a search of the guy's vehicle. That's where they found the rifle, semi-automatic. And then whatever they found in the vehicle gave them probable cause, led them to search the home.
Precisely what I said yesterday, that with all that stuff that he had on him, I guaranteed I said yesterday, he was going to walk down the block. He probably had a vehicle on standby, or he had stuff elsewhere stashed or hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This guy was ready to go to war.
Well, we don't know.
Allegedly.
So we don't know what's going on here. I don't know that this guy has his, I guess his family was speaking to the media.
Yeah, we have some of that. His brother spoke to 6ABC.
Alex, right? Krebs, his brother.
Do you want to hear that?
Yeah.
Police, the bomb squad, and the FBI converged on the home of Kevin Krebs in Malvern Monday evening after a more extensive search of the home led to the discovery of a pipe bomb inside. Krebs was arrested Saturday in Westchester while heavily armed near a No Kings protest in the borough. The arrest was captured on video on High Street downtown. Shortly before the bomb squad and FBI showed up, a man who says Krebs is his younger brother spoke with Action News right there on the front porch.
Completely so apologetic and so sorry that others, everybody was triggered or... people felt uncomfortable and unsafe.
According to the affidavit, probable cause, police seized a fully loaded handgun, 3 loaded handgun magazines, 6 loaded assault rifle magazines, knives, a ski mask, and gloves that Krebs was carrying at the time of his arrest. This man says his brother was in downtown Westchester in support of the protest and its message.
When a major tragedy was averted.
Wait, isn't his brother's reaction a little weird? I'm sorry if people were triggered or felt unsafe.
Yeah.
Like,
I would pat him down while I'm at it.
Your brother had an arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
An arsenal.
This guy was ready for combat.
Well, I don't know that. And what's fascinating to me about this, because whatever you want to say about this guy had, the 6 magazines that were for, and the media is reporting this as an assault rifle. It's a semi-automatic rifle because fully automatics are military grade. So I can tell you it's a semi-automatic rifle. He had the handgun with all the magazines for that. What's concerning, I think, is that he had a ski mask, gloves at the time that were either on him and or there were these types of things that were in his vehicle. I will tell you, there's a conversation on social media as far as, you know, the gun laws, the Second Amendment people are coming out saying, well, this guy didn't hurt anybody. And so he's walking around. Does he have a concealed carry? What is the permitting? Do you really need a permit? So there are all these layers of, you know, conversations. I just think it's the combo of the fact that the guy, it's not just the guy's walking around with a concealed carry, whether or not he had a permit. It's that he had like a refrigerator full of ammo. Then he had knives, mask, gloves.
Yeah, he wasn't going to hold up a Wawa.
Who is this guy? I don't know. They're really being tight-lipped about it. I will tell you that when they searched the home, now the FBI is involved, but when they searched the officers, when they find the explosive or explosives, they back out of the house.
Sure.
Because they know, ruh-roh, so now they call in the bomb squad, and so there was concern in the neighborhood, but it's a bizarre story, and we still don't know as far as, I mean, they got the search warrant, but they're being tight-lipped, just saying the investigation is unfolding, but his family still, to this moment, says he's harmless, he is not a threat.
Yeah, just a threat to squirrels.
So was he afraid? Is that what they're saying?
Now we're going to paint him out to be. Who was the guy with the...
Bernard Goetz type?
No, like who was the guy during the George Floyd riots that cried like a little baby on the stand and was ultimately given... What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're going to. Stop. Yeah. Kyle Rittenhouse was a kid. Yeah. He was a teenage kid.
Right. So this guy's the adult Rittenhouse.
No.
He was the, yeah.
Totally different. No. What don't
I mean, I'm all for the Second Amendment, but I mean, but use your common sense here, folks. All right. Stop. This guy had sinister intentions standing there on that street corner. It's a good thing those officers were there.
By the way, in New Jersey, former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez reports to federal prison this morning as he begins his 11-year prison sentence after, of course, he was dubbed Gold Bar Bob and then convicted on bribery and corruption charges. So his case has been making its way through the Court of Appeals, and he was denied in his latest bid to remain free on bail pending the appeal. He's 71 years young. And he became the first United States senator to ever be convicted convicted as a current senator or congressman of acting as an agent of a foreign government.
While throwing his wife with stage 4 breast cancer under the bus.
True.
What a bad human.
Yes. I know we'll get to the headline for you, all of the tensions with, President Trump leaving the G7 summit yesterday. He was quite feisty or spicy, however you want to say it, in the news conference. What was that, mid-morning? You knew that he was feisty as he was talking about it should have been the G8, that they should have continued with Russia in the conversation and going through the past.
You want to hear a great quote. I got Caitlin the Collins is up early this morning from CNN.
Uh-oh.
She tweeted, President Trump gaggled with reporters on his way back from Canada, disputing that he's attempting to broker a ceasefire with Israel or Iran, asked what is better than a ceasefire. As he said on Truth Social before leaving, Trump said an end, a real end, not a ceasefire, an end. He also said giving up entirely is also a possibility. About that.
Well, he, wow. Looking at 41 minutes ago on Truth Social, he put a picture of former President Obama, and over that kind of a sticky note typed in with Donald J. Trump, and he wrote, he has never gotten over the fact that Obama was able to send $1.7 billion in cash being all caps, to Iran, and nobody in Congress, the FBI, or Justice, meaning the Justice Department, ever called for an investigation. So very active this morning on Truth Social, and I know we'll get to it as he reportedly is, calling in the National Security Council, calling for some meetings, abruptly left the G7 summit. So we'll get into it.
But if we and Israel are behind some sort of regime change in Iran, and that seems to be what they want to do, then we're going to own those 90 million some people that are in Iran. So then, it's Saddam Hussein. It's like history repeats itself all the time, just all the time. I can't with this.
The only thing I'll say about it, I had this recently retired FBI agent, counterterrorism, was just over there and helped negotiate the release of some of those October 7th Jewish American hostages. And what I inferred from him was that none of this, and this was even before last night's breaking, what I inferred from him was, David Zimmerman, was that none of this would happen without the support of others, meaning Trump was just over there in the Middle East, just cut some important business deals with Qatari officials, the Emirates, Saudi Arabia. And so is it that Iran is too much, too active in supporting and triggering, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and, all of this terrorism over there?
Yeah, all those
proxies. Have the neighbors had it with them? And are they saying
pushback? Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I've read that I went down this deep dive yesterday. The Wall Street Journal must have had a half dozen articles, opinion-based, fact-based stuff. And one of them was about how other Arab nations have had it with Iran, kind of the same way that they've had it with, the pro-Gaza movement. Remember, we've been talking about how, these refugees, no other Arab nation wants them. So to your point, yeah, Don, there's definitely credence to that.
Well, then let them fight it. Let them all fight.
Sure. You're not wrong by saying that either.
And very well, Trump 11 hours ago on True Social. Ron never should have, you know, they should have signed the no nukes deal. So we have the sirens going off in Tel Aviv, G7 with Trump leaving abruptly. We have also.
You don't have to go through the whole show. Let's get to.
I was going to get to the Coast Guard guy, but we'll talk about that later. And all the medical studies and the Phillies.
All right,
Phillies won.
Yes, they did win.
Let me go to First Bank, our sponsor. Ready to drive your businesses. No success with a trusted local partner. Count on First Bank for personalized support, smart solutions. Help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Nick Cale, will we see the sunshine?
I think so, Dawn. 63 degrees right now. It's a high of 74 today. The sun will peak out a little bit in different pockets. Showers this evening, hot and rainy tomorrow with a high of 86. The same on Thursday. And then get ready for it, folks. Card subject to change, but from Friday through the following Saturday, 8 straight days of sun,
woo!
Dry weather, heat and humidity, including a heat wave hitting as high as 98 degrees. Not the bad boy band, by the way, either. Gee. Philly weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. Trump's last battle, is it? We'll talk about it. Big take next on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Fired up on a Tuesday morning. Wife just sent me a text. She says, you're feisty today.
Feisty.
And no, it has nothing to do with the wife. All good on that front. Why? Because the wife and girls on a 5-day trip to Nashville.
Oh, for God's sake.
For dance national competitions from Tuesday through Sunday. So I'm in a great mood. Just don't call me an apologist for the Jews and say my opinions are bought and paid for. That's my only gripe.
Oh, man.
Let's get to a Tuesday big take.
The big take. On Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by Wawa. Is it Donald Trump's last battle? I think it's an interesting question to pose because in less than 5 months, Donald Trump has fulfilled his top two campaign promises. When it pertains to the southern border, illegal immigration, and deportations, I would say he has delivered on what he said he would do, and I'd give him an A in that department. Yeah, federal judges. Yeah, sanctuary cities. Yeah, ICE. Yeah, riots. But Trump has done what he said he would do. On the economic front, we've had plenty of monthly optimistic success stories. Even if they are small in stature, I'd give him a B minus or a B on that front. Far better than what the experts predicted. And yes, there are still plenty of things that still need to happen, like codifying DOGE cuts and putting his one big beautiful bill into law. But it takes more than the president. Hence why Trump's favorability rating is anywhere between 46 and 52%, which is far higher than Congress, which is currently around 37 or 38%. And when I say Trump's last battle, we're referring to America's involvement in global conflict. Yes, we have Russia, Ukraine, but mainly we're talking about Israel and the Middle East. The biggest story in America right now is how will Donald Trump handle Israel's war with Iran? Headlines abound yesterday, such as, quote, the smart way for Trump to end the Israel-Iran war, that from the New York Times. Or this one from NBC News, how Trump went from opposing Israel's strikes on Iran to reluctant support. And this from CNN, why it will be hard for Trump to stay out of the conflict with Iran. Some of those very much true. But if there's one president that can, and one that will once again prove the experts wrong, I think it is 47. No added boots on the ground via deployment. I would say that would be a major win and a success, especially if peace is obtained. But the legacy media has a history of saying things like better than expected when it comes to admitting they were wrong and Trump somehow find a way to get it right. And there have been plenty of twists and turns in this conflict over the last 48 to 72 hours. So let's go through them. First, Bibi Netanyahu makes a claim on Bret Baier's show on Fox News, and we played this for you yesterday on the cut sheet, where he says Iran is behind the two failed assassination attempts on Donald Trump's life. Listen and watch this.
You just said Iran tried to assassinate President Trump twice. Do you have intel that the assassination attempts on President Trump were directly from Iran?
Through proxies, yes. Through their intel, yes. They want to kill him. Look, he's enemy number one. He's a decisive leader. He never took the path that others took to try to bargain with them in a way that is weak, giving them basically a pathway to enrich uranium, which means a pathway to the bomb, padding it with billions and billions of dollars. He took up this fake agreement and basically tore it up. He killed Qasem Soleimani. He said, made it very clear, including now, you cannot have a nuclear weapon, which means you cannot enrich. He's been very forceful. So for them, he's enemy number one.
So, was Iran behind Ryan Wesley Ruth's failed attempt on Trump's golf course last September? Were they behind Thomas Matthew Crook's failed attempt in Butler, PA last July? Which brings a few things into question. Are Kash Patel and Dan Bongino lying to us? Will they release more information in due time? Is Bibi Netanyahu saying this to lure Trump in and America's military with direct war with Iran? Forget nukes for a moment. Is BB tugging at Trump's heartstrings directly by saying it was Iran that tried to kill you twice? And why would the New York Times report and reveal more than our own government on Thomas Matthew Crooks? Last week, the New York Times released this video of Thomas Matthew Crooks a few years ago at home. Listen and watch this.
Hello, my name is Thomas Crooks, and it has always been my passion to create and build things of my own. Today, I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my academic goals, my passion for building things, my love of cooking with my family, and lastly, what I hope to achieve in this course.
And thank God you failed on July 13th from 140 yards out on that pitched roof. But did that guy right there really act alone? Was he a patsy for Iran? Is BB correct? What were on those encrypted devices that we still to this day have no answers to? The New York Times reports in their story, headline, quote, "The quiet unraveling of the man who almost killed Trump." They write the following. Thomas Matthew Crooks was actively strange. He was bizarre. Sometimes he danced around his bedroom late into the night. Other times he talked to himself with his hands waving around. Online searches reveal that he searched for major depressive disorder and depression crisis. He also operated, quote, in secret, using aliases and encrypted networks. He also ordered 2 gallons of fuel additive explosives to his home in late 2023. Internet searches from his community college revealed that he was searching, quote, how far was Oswald from Kennedy? I still refuse to believe that this guy acted alone and nobody knew. Fast forward to Monday morning. As soon as we got off the air yesterday, the Wall Street Journal with this exclusive, quote, Iran is urgently signaling it wants to end hostilities and restart negotiations pertaining to nuclear talks, sending messages to both Israel and the United States. And then shortly after that, on state television, the anchor in Iran claims they are under attack right now from Israel. And you know what? The tape doesn't lie. Listen and watch this footage.
صدای متجاوز به خاک وطن صدای متجاوز به صدای حق و حقیقت است آنچه که ملاحظه کردید صدایی که شنیدید فضای غبار آلوده استدیو
Clean up aisle 3. The studio and building directly struck, and the reporter had to flee the set. For those who need to get up to speed, here's what you need to know. Israel launched Operation Rising Lion last week, destroying Iran's nuclear facilities and killing top leaders. Iran has since retaliated and left 24 Israelis dead. The IDF announced yesterday that 1/3 of Iran's missile launchers have been destroyed. That was prior to last night. Iran is wounded, folks, especially after last night's bombings. That's why they're willing to tap out. But for now, the Iranian foreign minister saying this, one phone call from President Donald Trump could, quote, pave the way for a return to diplomacy in the Middle East. If President Trump is genuine about diplomacy and interested in stopping this war, next steps are consequential. Israel must halt its aggression, and absent a total cessation of military aggression against us, our responses will continue. He wrote this in a post on X, quote, "It takes one phone call from Washington to muzzle someone like Netanyahu. That may pave the way for a return to diplomacy," end quote. I'm not sure that that wording will go a long way, honestly, because Iran is a nation where they need to stop funding Hezbollah. They need to stop funding the Houthis, stop lying or creating this narrative that they're not working with nuclear aspirations, stop having connections with proxies that attack the Jews. But lastly, I want to get to Tucker Carlson. Now, I agreed with Tucker Carlson on yesterday's show when he said people like Sean Hannity and Mark Levin are banging the drum for war at Fox News. Totally agree with him on that front. But I disagree with him on the idea that Donald Trump's second term and whether or not it's a success depends on this specific war. I think that is complete nonsense. It is not our war. It is not our conflict. Here was Tucker on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast. Listen and watch this.
I actually really love Trump. I think he's a deeply humane, kind person. And I am saying this because I'm really afraid that my country's going to be further weakened by this. I think we're going to see the end of American empire, obviously. Other nations would like to see that. And this is a perfect way to scuttle the USS America on the shoals of Iran. But it's also going to end, I believe, Trump's presidency and effectively end it. And so that's why I'm saying this.
What do you mean by that? That's coming from you. That's
you get. Look, I knew Bush. I knew George W. Bush. We had, you know, family connections to Bush. I knew Bush personally. I still see Bush sometimes. And, you know, of course, he hates me. And he does because I criticized him on Iraq. And that war is the sum total from a historical perspective of his administration. But I knew him. And he had all kinds of plans for the things that he wanted to do. But once
Domestically,
right. To improve the country.
Right.
And you may agree or disagree, but like in his mind, he wasn't just about the invasion of Iraq in March of 2000.
Oh, no, no. He was going to redo Social Security.
100%.
All types of it. He was going to take care of the entitlements issue.
And he really thought it was going to work.
Yep.
And you could laugh at that or whatever, but the point is the second you get enmeshed in a real war, not a fake, let's go bomb the villagers and declare success, though we don't even have a good track record. Like, why are the Houthis still there? I mean, there's a whole other question, right, which is how prepared is the U.S. military for a real conflict? And the answer is totally unprepared. Scary unprepared. I don't think people understand that. But anyway, the only reason I'm saying any of this is because I really, really care.
And Tucker, you are really, really wrong. Trump is an American first, no war populist president. Bush was a conservative war hawk, hell-bent on finishing what daddy didn't finish in the 90s. In no way, shape, or form can America have an American first president who secures his own borders, stops the flooding of illegal aliens, reignites an American economy, who brings business and investments to American industries, a failure based on a global conflict that we shouldn't be involved with in the first place. And we also need to stop falling for the, if we don't end this war or this conflict, China or Russia will spread their ways and ideas throughout the globe. That's nothing more than fear-mongering to get you on board with war, funding the military-industrial complex, and having more pointless casualties. At this point in time, the name of the game for all parties involved is don't take the bait. But has Trump already taken it? We'll discuss that next, and that's The Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by Wawa. Sip into savings at Wawa. Enjoy any size hot coffee, including the new cinnamon churro blend for $1. Any size iced coffee for $2 or a 16-ounce Wawa tea and fruit drink for just $1. Unlimited bonus offers can be redeemed daily with Wawa rewards. 855-839-1210 on X at 1210WPHD. And of course, in the YouTube chat, we'll get Dawn's thoughts on the other side. Trump, the United States, and the involvement in this war. And are we on the verge of the great MAGA divide? I'll tell you why that could be on the precipice next. It's Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, it's such an exciting time for my friends at the Piazza Auto Group and their five Honda dealerships. Honda, if you don't know this already, Honda has won more 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards than any other brand, including Best Overall Brand. most trusted brand and best value brand. So whether you're eyeing maybe the Accord, the CRV, or the Pilot, I have the new HRV, which I love because it's sporty and it's adorable. I got out of the mom minivan, you know. So maybe you're choosing a vehicle backed by real drivers just like yourself. Come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda in Philadelphia. That's where I go. Ask for Awesome Ross the Boss. You got to call him that. Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Look, they're great people, great family. They've been the wind beneath our wings here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So please stop by Piazza. PiazzaHonda.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaHonda.com for today's special offers. PiazzaAutoGroup.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company live on a Tuesday morning. Nikhail, Dawn Stenzel, and Greg Stocker, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, cut sheet 1 hour from now. And we could very well go the next hour on this subject because there's a lot out there to kind of parse through. And I'm not sure that there is one definitive answer. I don't think this is necessarily a black and white issue. I think there's a lot of gray area, which could lead to some good conversation because I think there's valid points to be made across the spectrum of ideologies on where you stand on this issue. The only thing that is not up for debate to me is who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. Other than that, I'm willing to hear out all sorts of arguments. Dawn, your thoughts, Trump, the United States, the involvement in this war, and then also about how we might have a great MAGA divide because it looks like Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene are on one side, and including Tucker Carlson, who apparently took a swipe at Trump, and then Trump took a swipe back calling him a kook. I thought they were boys.
No, I think they've gone back and forth. You know, and Tucker gets into that whole conspiracy theory. I'm trying to remember who, I didn't think it was the Bob Woodward book, but I read all those books to try to get insight into George W. Bush because, you know, I always liked him. My mom loved his mom, Barbara Bush, great first lady. And so George W. Bush, there was one book, and I apologize, I don't know which one it was. I'll figure it out. But there was one book in which they talked about Dick Cheney and all those individuals who surrounded Bush, and some of them who were buddies of his dad, who was obviously president and also CIA. And so the story went that they kept trying to basically get George W. to go along with this. And he kept saying, good try, guys, good try. And that finally they got him to go along with it. But that it wasn't that he immediately wanted to do this. As I think now, it's easy for us to go, well, he wanted to vindicate his father, and you know what I mean? So to me, what that story tells is how important it is those individuals who surround the president of the United States when the heat is on. And even for somebody like Trump, as a CEO who never had a board, so he's the decision maker, but I still think it does depend on who is surrounding you. This time around with Trump, he's at a very different place. Mm-hmm. So I think that somebody like Donald J. Trump is far less likely to, you know, so-called take the bait from those who are the warmongers. You know, we talked about the Lindsey Grahams, etc. And I think that even the statements that Trump is putting out, where he is, you know, saying 11, 12 hours ago, Iran should have done the deal. But I still think that Trump, at the end of the day, remember early on in this administration, he said, I had Iran in a point where they were broke. So he's always the business guy. He doesn't think like a government guy. He thinks like a business guy. He thinks to himself, why did Obama basically refund, if you will, Iran and make them rich? And that's why I think he put that out on Truth Social just like within the past hour. So what Trump's plan, I believe, is to he wants to refund the police, but he wants to defund Iran because he believes peace, prosperity. He believes if we defund them, if they're broke again, like he had them in his first administration, they're not a problem. They're not rolling in all this dough. So I still maintain, my hope and my prayer this morning is he's meeting with his national security people, those warmongers, they are there's no question they want to take out. They say, this is your sir. This is your one opportunity. Take him out. I don't think that's his first instinct. And I hope that that's what he's looking at. And I hope that he's wiser than those before him who perhaps did not have the executive experience and the instinct that he has followed in his life and his career.
So last night on Truth Social around 6:30, he posted, Iran should have signed the deal. I told them to sign. What a shame and a waste of human life. Simply stated, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I said it over and over again. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran, which that was the big sentence, the big takeaway from that post last night. There was videos going viral on social media of cars. It looked like the LA Interstate, the 405. I mean, there you go.
On YouTube.
All backed up. Yep. So you have people evacuating. And then, of course, strikes occur. Now, I said earlier in the show, I went down this rabbit hole of reading all these Wall Street Journal columns yesterday on specifically this story. And I thought this was interesting. I forget his last name, but Dave something, who's one of the columnists for the Wall Street Journal, wrote this. And I think this is worth pointing out. Again, I think there's a lot of gray area here. And this will actually go a little bit towards what Stocker is talking about with Iraq 20 years ago. And Dave writes the following. Just because the Iraq war was wrong and a poor decision, a.k.a. a lie, doesn't mean Iran and attacking them and ending their capabilities is the same thing. Trump is not Bush. The Ayatollahs need to be removed. It's different than Saddam Hussein. Saddam was an evil dictator, but he was not religiously motivated. This is a jihadist extremism led by the Ayatollahs funding the radical Islamic extremists, which are much more dangerous to the West. So he's making the case there that Iran, far more dangerous because of motivations. I still don't believe that they are a few weeks to a month away from creating 9 or 10 atomic bombs. I think I am more in the camp of it's more likely that this is another lie to push for war like Iraq, WMD 2003. That being said, I agree with the sentiment here that Iran and religious motivations are far more dangerous, not only to Israel, but to the West and the United States, because they're coming at it from a different point mentally than Saddam Hussein was. Saddam Hussein was a deplorable individual. He was gassing his own people, for God's sakes, in their country. But that is where I do agree. And I'm not saying that they're not lying and they're using this as a reason. Just like also, by the way, for all the... Kale, you're a Jewish apologist. Bibi Netanyahu, I said it in the big take. He could be doing this intentionally, not only saying that Iran has nuclear capabilities, but by dropping that, to me, that's a bombshell. That should have been the number one story on every news outlet yesterday, that Bibi said to Brett Baer on Fox News that according to his proxy intel, whether he's lying or not is another question, that Trump was the two assassination attempts on Trump, it wasn't just crooks and Ruth. That this was Iran.
You think if that's true, if the state government of Iran or whatever you call them really tried to have our president assassinated twice, you don't think that our intelligence would know that and we wouldn't have retaliated? Come on. And he Netanyahu kind of, when Brett Baer asked him about that, he goes, well, I heard it through proxy and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But they want him dead.
Right.
He weaseled his way out of that.
Agreed.
Basically what he's saying is they're the usual suspects. They mm-hmm. fund all the bad guys. They're the pot stirrer in the Middle East.
But that's a lot different than saying that he had him, like Iran had a plot to have Trump assassinated. You're right. That would be a huge story, and
right.
It should be a huge story.
Yes.
If it was true.
If it was true, yes. But here's the other thing, too. You talk about, you know, the president and, you know, retaliation. Keep in mind, he wasn't the president at the time. And remember, this is where I give Tucker Carlson credit. It was the first thing I thought of, man, when that thing happened on July 13th in Butler. Remember that clip I played for you months ago on the show before the big take? After the attempted assassination in Butler and after that big take that morning, remember Tucker Carlson was talking about how arrests, impeachments, indictments, stripping his businesses. What's next? You do the math. Assassination. And then kaboom, it happens. I mean, we love to talk about, quote, the deep state. How deep does it go? I mean, was Iran in coordination with, quote, deep state officials in the United States where they find these gullible people that are mentally ill to carry it out? I have no idea. And we're not getting any information from our own FBI or Secret Service or federal authorities. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino have basically said everything that you've ever hypothesized about with assassinations and Jeffrey Epstein, it's not there. It's just not there.
I just believe that if Iran was, you know, yes, I know it was during the Bush administration or the Biden administration, but if it, you would think that when Trump's people took over and they saw evidence of this, you don't think that would have been like front page news, that they would have put headlines all over with this? Come on. It doesn't add up.
None of this
it doesn't
adds up.
And by the way, I'm not saying that the Iranian government is not corrupt and not doesn't want Bush is dead, but that's a huge step from you know, having the president of our United States assassinated or attempted assassination twice.
But I want you to think about what happened just 1 month ago, a little over 1 month ago, and that was to a sea of purple, Trump receiving that royal welcome from his good buddy, who he goes way back with before he was president, with the Saudis and the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. And so he, remember that whole friendly exchange, I like you too much, we go way back, we've known each other from business days, et cetera, et cetera. Getting that, securing that historic, what was it, $600 billion investment, et cetera, from the Saudis. Trump, that's fresh in his mind as this morning is happening. And so what I believe is that the pressure, and also what's different from, let's say, Iraq, Bush, et cetera, is that Trump has had that moment where he put the Middle East as good guys, as good business people on the world stage, showing them respect. I think that goes very far. I think he's on the phone or communicating, sending communications with those individuals. And whatever is happening right now is not a traditional situation that we've seen in the past where the USA in a vacuum now is going to go and take out Khomeini, who's a supreme leader, who is a religious leader. No, it's to me, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens with support.
You think the people should overthrow him or overthrow the regime?
I think
with our backing.
I think that with our backing, wow. But that we don't do it. That we in because it just wow. Think about it. We're
oh
not.
My God.
If it's the USA,
you bought it. Remember the Colin Powell thing.
Right, but because we were because the USA had your fingerprints all over it.
Our fingerprints will be all over this
too.
That's
true too.
Our fingerprints and by the way, this notion of diplomacy now, like will Iran come back to the table is nonsense. They're not going to come back to the table.
They've been bombed. They're taken out. They took out their communications.
I think they will.
Look at how they've been taken out militarily.
Nope.
So they're tapping out.
They have nothing left. I mean, they're going to be devastated.
I mean, Trump you read the statement from Caitlin Collins. Play that, Phil.
The Collins quote.
29,
Trump in the gaggle.
28 or whatever it was.
Getting ready to come off the plane. Guaranteed it sounds like crap. They got to stop doing these things in this setting. It's terrible audio.
Bro.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that would be permanent.
Yeah. Or giving up entirely.
Is that
okay too?
Are you close there? Are you possible? Is that possible in the next 24?
Why not? Certainly
impossible.
Complete give up. That's possible.
Yeah. I would totally be on board with that. I would give Trump all the praise imaginable.
But I think
who's
saying
giving up?
Iran would give up their giving up nuclear capabilities. That's his whole thing right now. I feel that he's saying Iran needs to give up on having nuclear capabilities.
Oh, so you think he's implying that
Iran.
See, that to me sounds like America giving up.
No. No.
Because I would be totally on board with that.
I think what he's saying, Iran needs to give up the nukes. He needs to, and they've got them. They've got them by the Quijones. They've got them right where they want them.
Who?
Give up the nukes. Iran. That's what Trump is saying.
I agree with you that they've got Iran in a desperate situation with so many.
Israel does?
Israel and America.
And the Middle East. None of the neighbors want them to have it.
Iran's lost a third of their missile arsenal, and that was artillery. And that was as of last night before the attacks, right? And then, of course, you have this situation now where I say for now. You know, 5 years from now or when Trump's out of office, if a Democrat's in office, they're going to try to get back to doing what they've been doing. My question is, so, Dawn, do you think they have nuclear weapons?
I believe that they have. There's evidence that they were, even Netanyahu in that one statement said within 6 months to a year, so that they had they found whatever they had, the paperwork and the labs and whatever they raided. They were working on those capabilities. By the way, the only one this week.
So like it's already
within months.
The
yes.
story's already kind of unraveling a little bit. Come on.
But the only one, by the way, that with and here's the bottom line. In that negotiation, the only one with the real capability, let us point out, is Israel.
Exactly.
So will they turn to Bibi and say, okay, we've got a good situation here. Iran's going to sign the deal. Let's get the Abraham Accords. Let's get all this stuff. But Bibi, you got to give up your nukes, your capabilities. Bibi's not going to do it.
No shot in hell. I agree with that.
By the way, Dr. Phil McGroin says, if Nick is bought and paid for, I hope it's with grammar lessons.
No, it's Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
855-839-1210. Or what's the upstart company? Babbel. I've heard those commercials.
Yes, yeah.
I babble a lot.
We're sponsored.
There you go.
Any bangs.
We got to play that song coming back.
No, we don't. No,
you're right. Getting flagged over Ricky Martin's is just not worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in your thoughts, your opinions, you can do so. 855-839-1210. Dawn will have news to kick off the second hour, which is technically already underway. And then I want to get to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, and this splintering within the Republican Party on war versus anti-war, Trump versus anti-Trump. I think that's something to pay attention to in the next couple of days, and we'll do that when we come back on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.